This is a special occasion in parliamentary democracy.
These very exciting times.
What a disgraceful position you're
in. I am concerned that Malcolm Turnbull...
You've been warned twice, that's your last warning.
Well, the job of selling the budget has well and truly hit the road. The Prime Minister headed to Western Sydney today, promoting new jobs, and also headed to the Richmond Air Base. But there's been no news poll bump for the government after last week's big budget announcement. Phil Currie is the Chief Political Correspondent for the Australian Financial Review. Phil, we had two polls out today and, well, two different kind of sets of analysis to go with those polls. You're grumbling.
No. The two polls showed exactly the same thing.
That's right, the same result.
The numbers were eerily similar, that if an election was held today, the coalition would be defeated comfortably. I think, you know, the news poll had no real change to the two-party vote. I think it moved 1 point backwards, but that's sort of, you know, statistically no change. Our Fairfax poll had them closing a bit. Now, the last poll we did was 6 weeks ago. So, A, it could have been a bit of an outlier, but B, you know, more's happened in that 6 weeks than's happened just in the last fortnight since news poll. So they're different periods. Ours had a longer run-up than theirs, basically. But at the end of the day, they both showed the same thing, that the budget was popular. The key measures were very popular. We had very similar numbers on the bank tax, the Medicare levy, and some other, you know, the infrastructure spending and so forth. So that was all popular, the numbers that really matter haven't really, you know, sort of moved. Now, is that a problem? It depends who you talk to. I think it's fair to say the government was hoping for a bounce, but they weren't really expecting one, and that's quite a difference. And I think if within a month's time, if there's no real movement in those bedrock numbers, those bottom numbers, then there'll be, you know, a frisson, I think, of panic. But at this stage, they're just hoping, you know, they're more encouraged than not.
Let's hear the Prime Minister. He was asked about the polls a number of times today. Here's what he had to say.
My focus is on ensuring that we deliver these great outcomes from the budget. I know that the polls are not news, right? There are lots of polls.
They're not news unless you're launching a leadership challenge. What do you reckon?
Exactly.
Then they're news. News. I mean, like, yes. I'm making a comment.
People always blame us in the media for being obsessed with polls. Whether or not we're not the people who neck premiers and prime ministers on the basis of bad polls.
No, that's right. So it is worth noting.
No wonder we take them seriously.
It is worth noting. I know many people who are not fans of Malcolm Turnbull say, well, he did pin his entire, you know, strategy on these news poll bad news polls for Tony Abbott. So he can't have it both ways.
No, I mean, it wasn't the only thing, but he certainly highlighted it. Look, Patricia, I think, I don't know if I could offer some analysis. I think one of the reasons there's no real movement is that a lot of people have just switched off and aren't paying much attention. I was at a 50th birthday bash in Brisbane on the weekend, you know, with the real people, if you like, no one with anything to do with this place. And I just found about one person I spoke to had any awareness of all of the budget. You know, everyone knew it had been handed down that week, but in terms of what was in it and so forth, it was very... And I even find amongst friends of mine who are political tragics, you know, who follow everything and read everything, you know, on top of their daytime jobs, have started to switch off. It's not just driven by disenchantment, but I think the whole Trump thing and everything else. It's just people are feeling a bit jaded. So I just wonder whether the government has a problem with just trying to engage people. If you've actually sort of plopped these measures under people's noses and they'll say, oh, that's a good idea, or I agree with that, or I don't agree with that. But trying to get people to, you know, just to switch back on, I think, is a challenge at the moment. And I just base that on my own anecdotal experience.
Yeah, no, I have similar experience and I get it through the text machine every night, Phil. I think you're right there. And if anyone wants to text while Phil and I talk, 0418 226 576, you can contribute to the conversation. Is the other reason, while the political analysis through that kind of political prism was that, you know, they moved away from the 2014 sort of approach, ultimately, with a Medicare levy hike, everyone's going to be paying more. And, of course, with wages stalling, you know, cost of living pressures on, people just also thought, well, actually, we're all getting hit.
Well, I think, just based on Labor decided that was the measure they were going to go after. Oppositions always sort of look at a budget and go, right, which bit are we going to zero in on here and make an issue of? And they decided to go after that. Even though that was their own idea just 4 years ago, they increased the Medicare levy by half a percentage point across the board. There was no exemptions to fund the NDIS, and it's since transpired, you know, it needs more funding. And so the government's sort of, you know, done it again, and this time Labor's opposing it as inequitable. So that probably tells you something, but exactly in the context of low wages growth, people grumbling about the cost of living and all those sorts of things, it's pretty easy to single out, you know, the tax hike that's going to hit, you know, even people down to 20 grand, even though it is a sort of levy, so the more you earn, the more you pay. I think where the government's going to go on this, well, I'm pretty sure I know where the government's going to go on this. They're not going to fight it. They're not going to have a blue in the Senate because the tax increase isn't scheduled to begin until July 1, 2019. So they can take this to the next election. There's no need to have an unedifying Senate brawl and have a defeat on this now. And bear in mind, Scott Morrison suggested very, very strongly at the press club last week that lower income earners are going to get a tax cut before the next election. And so you can see the government going to the next election promising to cut taxes and increase them at the same time, but they'll cut them by more than they increase them. So I think they feel they can, you know, win this argument. And there is a good cause attached to it, the NDIS. It's very hard to argue against. So that's the one that's going to linger out of this budget. But, you know, the banks are kicking and screaming, and that's getting a little bit messy, but there's no real third-party support for the banks out there.
No, and, they're not going to absorb the costs. We know now they've said today, and they also want perhaps foreign banks to also get the hit. They don't want to get it alone. Who gets the blame at the end of all of this?
Well, again, an interesting question, because if you look at Shorten's bill, especially both of their language, Shorten and Turnbull's language in recent days, there's this obsessive focus on this passing on the cost to consumers. Now, Labor and the Coalition, and they do this after every budget, they get focus groups of, you know, undecided and swing voters in sort of average areas of Melbourne and Sydney and so forth, and they present them with the budget. And I know Labor's found this, and I'm pretty sure the Coalition has too, that people are sort of, you know, fairly supportive of building the banks, but they're also resigned to the fact that this is going to come back at them in the form of increased costs. And they're picking this up in their groups, if you like. So if you notice Shorten's language, he's having a bit of a bet each way. He says, yeah, we'll support this tax, but Malcolm Turnbull must bear the responsibility for all the costs that are being passed on. And they're really starting to labour those points now and emphasise those points because they've picked up that there's a, you know, it's not politically unpopular, but there's a wariness about who's going to ultimately bear the cost for this. And so Shorten's making a big deal of that. And Turnbull again today was, you know, essentially, you know, urging and imploring the banks, you have no basis to pass this on. So I think that's a sort of secondary issue, but not an insignificant one that's associated with the bank tax.
And just finally, Senator Cory Bernardi says that he's had a lot of people emailing his new party, the Australian Conservatives, showing him their resignation from the Liberal Party after the budget. Of course, you know, I think most people agree that the budget did kind of deviate from a traditional, you know, centre-right budget. Is he right? Is he being inundated?
I don't know.
We don't know, do we, unless we see.
I'm not picking up a lot of grief from the Liberal base as these folk are known, but I think if the polls haven't moved, say, you know, if they haven't got a point or two off the two party within a month, I think you might see a bit more of that. You know, why do we, you know, jettison our low tax philosophy and so forth for nothing? But at this stage, I think Turnbull's still, you know, sort of hopeful they can do something. But look, it's in Corey's interest to say that. He had a fairly strong piece in our paper today. You know, it's basically him and David Lionel, I think, are the only two people in the parliament who opposed the budget. I mean, even Tony Abbott's sort of said, look, I don't like it, but what choice did we have? The Senate wouldn't pass the cut, so we had to do it. So, you know, in the circumstances, that was it's all the choice we had. So even he's towing the line. But yeah, Lionel was in, you know, he's philosophically opposed to increased taxes, so he opposes it, and Corey's a low tax person as well. So it suits his agenda. It helps him to, you know,
it's product differentiation, isn't it?
Indeed, it does. And look, it's a genuine one. He is genuine in that's always been his beliefs. And, but you know, whether there's a stampede towards Australian Conservatives, time will tell.
We'll see if there's a stampede. Mm. Well, we've stampeded towards you, Phil Khoury, and now we're stampeding away. Thanks for joining us tonight.
A pleasure. Bye-bye.
That's Phil Khoury, he's Chief Political Correspondent for the Australian Financial Review, looking at kind of the week in politics, or the post-budget kind of period, I suppose.